Looks like all during the break it was recorded. That's okay, see. That's because I am technically handicapped. Oh, there's a new phrase. A new phrase. Digital dementia. And that's for when you have everything on your smartphone and you can't even remember your own home phone number. And that breeds, there's another word. See if I can get it right. And that breeds ineptocracy. Ineptocracy. That means inept government. Ineptocracy. New words all the time. Okay. All right. You all know these scriptures. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God, space, created the heavens, space, and the earth, giving a flow of time. Then we have John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing came into being that he did not create. Okay? Hebrews 1:1, okay? God in times past spoke to the fathers through the prophets and has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom all things were created. Colossians, the first chapter, by whom all things were created. See? And back to Hebrews, the first chapter, and upholds all things by the word of his power. That's an amazing thing. And the whole Bible is structured around that. And the whole Bible being inspired by the mind of God, God breathed, means that there are layers and layers and layers and layers of meaning as we put the whole Bible together. And that's one advantage of having the seven divisions of the Bible. The law, the prophets, the writings or psalms, then the gospel and Acts. And that's right in the middle. Followed by the general epistles, followed by the epistles of Paul, and finished by the book of Revelation as the seventh division of the Bible. So God has been from everlasting to everlasting. Okay? Now let's look at a few things concerning God's law. What did Jesus say? One of the first things he proclaimed, which is contrary to one of the first things you may hear when you walk into a Protestant church, do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets, I've come to fulfill. Till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. The law is eternal. We'll see that. Now, a lot of people, someone sent me an article about a man who said, well, it's dangerous to read the Bible and take it literally. See, because it says you're to take out certain people and stone them. Okay, this is an argument which is a straw man, because Israel was a physical nation within a physical geographical area that God established for them. And all nations, Genesis 9, were given capital punishment laws. If someone takes a man's life, you will take his life. Okay, now, the new covenant, all the death penalty which goes with a physical sovereign nation did not pass to the church. That's called the administration of death. But in a physical society, if the death penalty were administered for those who commit serious capital crimes, this is how God said you will keep your physical population from becoming overwhelmed with crime. Now, for the church, it is not a single nation in a single geographical place. It goes to all the world. And you cannot have two sovereigns within one geographical nation. I bring to your attention Sharia law. See? That belongs with the Muslims wherever they are. They bring it. It's not like a religion where the religion of Christianity, even in the world, sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't, took to themselves the administration of death. The New Testament is an administration of life. So when we read the Old Testament and we read the laws where someone was to be put to death because of child molestation or kidnapping or murder, they would come to the judges. Sound a little bit like today? And whatever the judges would determine, that's what would be carried out. All right. Today, we don't do that. The church's greatest, how shall we say, legislative ability toward people is disfellowship. That's it. So when people come and read these things in the Old Testament, they say, oh, well, you can't take it literally. Well, much of the Psalms have to do with spiritual things. And it's very interesting. Let's come here to Psalm 63, and this is one of my very favorite psalms. And as we're turning there, we're ready to go. Now, Psalm 63, after the ark was captured by the Philistines because of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, and they all died on one day, just like God said, the Philistines took the ark, and you know what happened? Dagon fell down three times. They had mice and hemorrhoids. What a combination. And so they wanted to get rid of those, so they made some golden mice and golden hemorrhoids and put it in a cart and put the Ark of the Covenant in it and pointed it toward Jerusalem and said, go! Well, it came to Kirjath-Jearim, and it stayed there for 20-some years. Okay, in the house of Abinadab, who was a Levite. Then David wanted to bring the ark back to Jerusalem, and you know what happened then? They tried to bring it by a cart, and Uzzah put his hand up to steady it, and he was zapped because no one but a Levite was to touch it. And so David got back to Jerusalem, licked his wounds, and he did what he should have done the first time. He conferred with the priests and Levites, and they said, we should carry it. So what he did, since there was no temple there, and the tabernacle was up in Gibeon, and it remained up in Gibeon until the temple was finished by Solomon. So he built a special house in which to put a tent or tabernacle for the Ark of the Covenant to be housed in, and he had Asaph and the other Levites to minister there. So when David would bring his psalms, he would come and give them to Asaph, and he would also sing before God, right in front of this little tent. Now, with that said, let's read Psalm 63. It also gives us a really tremendous inspiration of what our attitude should be. Verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see your power and your glory as I have seen you in the sanctuary. Now, what does that tell us? David probably saw an outline of God, because the sanctuary is where the Ark of the Covenant was. And so he would be there bringing his psalms and singing and praising God, and one time he saw him there. Now, I think that's why he wrote this psalm. It so inspired him, see. As I've seen you in the sanctuary, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. Now here's another thing that God will do with everyone. There will be times when you can't sleep at night and you're going to be thinking on God. You're going to be thinking about your sins. You're going to be thinking about what you need to do to correct those. That's the time to get out of bed and go pray. God is dealing with you, just like he did with David. Notice verse 7, because you have been my help. Now, put this in your notes for a study. Go through all the Psalms and look up help and helper. And there's one phrase, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Okay? You have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows hard after you. Your right hand upholds me. Now, hold your place here, and let's come to Acts 15. Why on earth am I going to Acts 15? You'll find out when we get there, okay? Now, remember, it was the dispute concerning circumcision or not circumcision, okay? Notice how James made the decision, Acts 15 and verse 13. After they had got all done explaining about how that circumcision is now of the heart and the great works that God did with the Gentiles, etc., etc. Okay, verse 13. After that they were silent. James answered and said, "Men, brethren, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take out a people for his name. And with this the words of the prophets agree, as it is written, after these things I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down." Okay, now that's, you find that in Amos 9, which has fallen. "And its ruins I will build again, and I will set it up." Now, we as the church then follow what we find here in Psalm 3. This needs to be our attitude, as if we were in front of the sanctuary, but greater still, we have received of the Holy Spirit so we can pray directly to God the Father in his sanctuary above, as shown in Revelation 4 and 5. Think of that, see. So we are connected to God just exactly. Now let's come back here to Psalm 63. Okay, Psalm 63, as I've seen you in the sanctuary. Okay, verse 7. "Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows hard after you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek after my life to destroy it shall go into the depths of the earth." That's the final way that you pray for your enemy. You pray for your enemy, number one, to be converted. Number two, to leave you alone. Number three, to go away. And if not, God judge them and take care of them according to your will. Okay? Because Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Okay? There we go. "They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a serving for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped." Okay. Now, that's why. Now, let's look at some things concerning the laws of God. Now let's see how great they are. Now, grace defines our relationship with God. When you are under grace, you have that direct connection with God's Spirit. And there are two aspects to the Spirit of God. Romans 8th chapter, the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of Him who was dwelling within Christ, or the Spirit of the Father. Okay? And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my words, and my Father will love you, and we, Jesus and the Father, will dwell in you. See? So that's how we have the direct connection to the sanctuary in heaven above. All right? Now let's pick it up here in verse 7, Psalm 19. Remember, Jesus said, the heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Psalm 19 and verse 7. See, the law of the Lord is perfect, but it grates on human nature, doesn't it? Yes, it's perfect because God is love and law comes from love. God is perfect, and so God gives us a perfect law. Restoring the soul. Now think about when you go through a traumatic experience and God has preserved you. Now, I remember when I rolled my car going back home from L.A. First thing I said when it rolled and landed upright, and I didn't have my seatbelt on, and I wasn't thrown around, it landed on all four, straight up. Another 10 feet, I would have gone into a car coming 70 miles an hour the other way. And the first thing I said when I opened the car door and got out, I said, thank you, God, for saving me from my stupidity. See? All right? Because I did something I shouldn't have done. I tried to block off the sun and stuff something up so it wouldn't come in on my face. And the front wheel tire went over the edge of the road. Restoring the soul. That's how I felt. And there are also times that God deals with us, that a combination of His Word and combination of His Spirit, combination of His law, combination of our circumstances, that we're praying to God, and God just deals with us, and the tears flow, and we thank God for His mercy and kindness, right? Yes, that's what it's talking about here. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And boy, do we need the wisdom of God. Okay? The precepts of God are right, rejoicing the heart. We'll see some other things in Psalm 119. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. Gives you understanding, right and wrong, good and evil. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And notice the value of it. See? More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. So you get this little inner voice that you... All of you have that little inner voice, don't you? You talk to yourself, don't you? Don't you think to yourself? Yes? Yes? And whenever I do something that's not right, I say, Fred, you're stupid. And that is true? Okay. Moreover, your servant is warned. God keeps you back from trouble, right? In keeping them, there is great reward. And here's what it does. Because all human beings are subject to doing things that are not right. And verse 12, who can understand his errors? If you don't have a standard of right and a standard of wrong based on the Word of God, you'll never know your errors. You'll go along and you'll be doing things you think you're doing right. Oh, cleanse me from my secret faults. Now, let's understand this. In the New Testament, God is called the heart-knowing God. Only God can know what's in the mind of any individual. Only God. That's why some of the nicest people on the outside turn out to be the most evil. Because you can't read their minds. Now, wives can guess pretty much what husbands want to do because they've been married. Okay? But you still don't know what's in his mind. See? So we need to understand our errors and be cleansed from our secret faults. And keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Uh-oh! Don't do that. Do not let them rule over me, then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Now, what does this do for your relationship with God? Verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. And remember, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. Here it is right here, see? Okay. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Yeah, I love Psalm 22. So let's read that. Now, there are five, I believe it is, mays here. I think I covered this one time before. Verse 1, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob set you on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt offerings, and we can say all of our prayers today. May he grant you according to your own heart and fulfill all your plans. We will shout for joy in your victory, and in the name of our God, we will set up banners. May the Lord fulfill all your prayers. Now, you get a little discouraged. You open to Psalm 20, and you read that, and you start praying, and you start claiming those promises. Okay? Now, tie that in with the last verses in number 6 about may the Lord, and that'll pull it all together. Now let's come to Psalm 119. Now Psalm 119 is really a fantastic psalm. And it has 22 sections of 8 verses apiece. And in the Hebrew, every verse starts out with the letter of the alphabet that is listed at the top of each section there. All right? Now, I've often wondered this, and I think it's probably so. Could this also be a prophecy of Jesus' attitude toward the laws and commandments and statutes and judgments of God while he was on earth? Okay, let's read some of them. Let's see how this ties in with the Word of God. And let's see how we can apply this with Psalm 19, about cleansing our way and pointing out our errors and what we do with our life. See, and what I'm talking about in all of these things are what? New Testament teachings about overcoming. All right? Verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. Boy, what a way to start out. I mean, just take every one of these verses and study it through, read it, think about it, pray about it, and this will help you a great deal. Because if you do verse 1 and 2, verse 3 follows. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. And his way is the way of truth, his way is the way of righteousness, his way is the way of goodness. See? You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Notice what he says in verse 5. Now he sees his own human shortcomings. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect to all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I have learned your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes, oh, forsake me not utterly. That introduces Psalm 119. Well, we'll look at just a couple of more verses here. Next section, verse 9. With what shall a young man cleanse his way? Young man, young woman. And remember, at the end of the word woman is a man. And as you're going in the doors, make sure you read the one that says, "Whoa, man." Okay? With what shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. All the way through, you'll have commandments, judgments, statutes, precept, word, law, all the way through. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I laid up in my heart so that I might not sin against you. What does John write about in quoting God that God does to us with his spirit in our minds? And this, we have to apply ourselves to learn it and do it. That is, write his laws and commandments in our hearts and in our minds, right? Here it is right here, see? So you can take the things from the New Testament and apply it here in the book of Psalms, and this is why Paul told Timothy that you have the holy writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All right. When you're studying, verse 18, this is a prayer we all need to pray many, many times. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Tie that together with what we covered in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, how God reveals them to us. This is why we study. This is why we pray. This is why we do what we do, you see. All right? Now, here's a verse you've heard many times over, verse 97. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day. That ties in with Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. See? Yes. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. All right? Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Who is the light for us but Jesus Christ? And what did Jesus say? If the light that is in you is righteousness, then your whole body will be full of light. But if the light that is in you is darkness, then your whole body is full of darkness. Okay? Now we'll look at a few more scriptures here. Verse 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Now, do another study on truth. Do the one on help and helper, and do a study on truth. And see, that is what we need to continually have as the standard of it. And what did Jesus say of himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. All right? Your law is truth. Verse 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. The law is perfect. It is truth. God made it for us. God gave it to us. All right. Now notice verse 160. Your word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous precepts endures forever. What did Jesus say? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. All right, since I went over time in the beginning, let's do this. Let's finish with verses 123. This frames our whole attitude. And you put in there, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your soul, all your being, your neighbor as yourself, the brethren as Christ has loved us, okay? And remember this, see? When everything else around you fails, now you'll have a time or two in your lifetime when that happens, Remember, when all else fails, God loves you. And that will bring you back to God, and you won't let circumstances overwhelm you. All right? Let's pick it up here in verse 123. My eyes fail for your salvation. That means looking, wanting about God's salvation. For the word of your righteousness. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Now we can put in there, I am your child. Are we not? We are to be the sons and daughters of God. See? Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Now here's something true for today. Don't be upset about the news and what is happening. It's going to be getting worse. It's not going to get better. We don't know what's going to happen, but surely we can read about what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah and what we have been doing in this nation and in Europe. You know that sooner or later, judgment is going to come. And we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves and stay out of the line of fire. That doesn't mean we compromise anything concerning the Word of God. We need the protection of God. We need the help of God. And the way that is going to come is because we love God. See? And we work at it. Now, verse 126, it is time for the Lord to work. And I pray that every day for God's people. Pray that every day for the churches and the ministry. For they have made void your law. And around the world, they're doing that more and more. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Ties right in with Psalm 19, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And that gives you a good guidepost how you're going to survive in this evil world and yet grow in grace and knowledge. So that's how the Word of God is spirit and is life. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.